Hello, welcome to Here and Now, the Dawlish and Tynmouth area talking newspaper. Today's date is Friday the 19th of September 2025, and I'm Mo Hutchings, team leader of the Blue Team this month. So, let's meet our first readers.
Hello, I'm Nev Pope.
And Norma Orty.
Welcome, Nev and Norma. So now, the headline article from the Dawlish Gazette, which is Animal Escape is Below Par. It was pandemonium in Dawlish when one of the animals from the Seafront Safari mini-golf made a bid for freedom. The attraction is currently a construction site as part of South West Water's multi-million scheme to improve water quality in the town. While the work is underway, the plastic animals have been herded up for safekeeping. But it was reported a group of individuals were seen climbing into the compound and removing one of the giant pandas before carrying it off along Marine Parade. A witness said, just watched a group of people climbing into the crazy golf in Dawlish, took panda out of the premises and walked down Marine Parade with it. It is understood police were informed of the incident, but it's not known if a panda car was dispatched. Oh dear. Meanwhile, Dawlish resident Colin Homewood had spotted the animals gathering at their watering hole at the coffee kiosk. He said, sadly for most of them wanting a cup of tea, they were disappointed. But Gemma the giraffe was luckier as she found an ice cream. The animals have divided opinion since the mini golf opened in 2018. Some have described them as tacky, while others believe they are a fun addition to the seaside which attracts children and families. One resident commented that the area looked like a commercial theme park, but another said children love the area and the animals provided a photo opportunity for visitors. Another commented, as much as the gorillas made me smile, it made Dawlish look like an amusement park as you got off the train. So, following that, over to Nev for her first article.
Well, the RNLI Institute has issued critical safety advice about wearing a life jacket and checking weather conditions after a rescue at Dawlish on Tuesday, September the 2nd. Exmouth RNLI launched its Shannon lifeboat, the R&J Wellburn, at 2:39 p.m. on Tuesday after receiving reports of a boat taking in water in 2 metre waves off Langston Rock. When the volunteer crew arrived on scene, they discovered that 6 of the 8 people on board a 5 metre rigid inflatable boat, a RIB, were not wearing life jackets. The crew of the RIB had been on their way from Tynmouth to Exmouth when they had got into trouble due to the challenging sea conditions, with a moderate westerly wind generating a slight moderate sea state. When the Exmouth lifeboat arrived on scene, the volunteers found the RIB crew bailing water from the vessel after it had become overwhelmed by the waves and developed engine issues. The 6 crew, who were not wearing life jackets, were feeling the cold, and the Exmouth RNLI crew decided to take them off the stricken vessel so they could benefit from the warmth and safety of the lifeboat. In the meantime, the remaining 2 casualties had managed to restart the engine and decided to turn back to Tynmouth. Exmouth RNLI followed the RIB back to Tynmouth to ensure its safe passage and to deliver the 6 casualties on the R&J Wellburn lifeboat safely to shore. All 8 casualties from the RIB arrived back in Tynmouth, cold but unharmed. The Exmouth RNLI Shannon class lifeboat and its volunteer crew of 7 returned to the lifeboat station where the boat was washed down and refuelled in readiness for the next call.
Thank goodness they were safe. The next item, Dessert Shop launches a jukebox fundraiser. An award-winning Dawlish eatery is poised to launch a new musical charity fundraiser. Popular dessert and ice cream emporium, the local Scoop, has plans to introduce a community jukebox. Owners Jack Martin and Emma Ireland and shop manager Laura Kalniuk are hoping the project will bring entertainment to customers, as well as raising money for local good causes. Before they can get up and running, the jukebox needs some TLC, as repairs need to be made to the number pad, which has stopped working. but once the machine is operational, customers will not be charged to choosing a tune. However, the team hopes small donations of any loose change would be made in return for a song. A spokesman said, "Donations would be appreciated, as we will choose a local cause to donate all the money from the jukebox to each munch. In the meantime, the hunt is on for CDs to play. The jukebox holds up to 50 CDs. In a trade with customers, anyone who donates a CD in good condition with no scratches can trade it for a lucky dip scoop. Offers can be made through the shop's Facebook page, giving the artist's name and name of the album to join the jukebox collection. The local scoop opened in 2021 in Piedmont Place and has since gained its reputation for its handmade, in Dawlish, gelato in innovative flavours and including dairy, free and vegan choices. They have won numerous awards, including gold at the Food and Drink Devon Awards and at the Devon County Show.
Drivers in Dawlish are breathing a sigh of relief after troublesome traffic lights were finally removed. But the easing of the restrictions on the A379 at Exeter Road may be short-lived, as more work is planned, possibly as early as next month. The lights, put in place whilst Wales and West Utilities carried out work on a gas pipe, had caused misery for motorists with lengthy queues. Following numerous complaints and County Councillor Rosie Dawson asking Devon County Council highways officers to intervene to ease the congestion, the lights were finally removed. Instead, Sandy Lane was closed to traffic, but remains open to pedestrians with vehicle access now via Elm Grove Road. Wales and West has apologised for the inconvenience, but it's understood this work is part of a wider programme planned for Dawlish, which could begin as early as next month. Wales and West Utilities Programme Controller for Devon, Roxanne Whittaker, said, "We're working in the Sandy Lane area of Dawlish to upgrade the gas network. This work is essential to keep the gas flowing safely. We've worked closely with Devon County Council to plan these works, and in order to keep the local community, road users and our colleagues safe while we work, traffic lights were put in place along Exeter Road at its junction with Sandy Lane. However, these lights have caused more disruption than we anticipated. And so at the request of the council, and to try and improve traffic flow, we will instead close Sandy Lane at its junction with Exeter Road. A diversion route will be clearly signposted. While we're doing everything we can to minimise disruption, we would advise motorists to leave more time for travel or to take alternative routes if at all possible. We're sorry for the work, for the inconvenience our work is causing. We know working on roads like this is not ideal, but it really is essential to upgrade the network and to keep the gas flowing safely." The company had come in for fierce criticism for the way the lights were operating, as drivers reported long queues on one side, yet little traffic the opposite side of the lights. The traffic control had caused major disruption and delays for anyone getting in and out of the town. The project is to replace a 110-metre length of gas pipe. According to Councillor Dawson, the point where the pipe was connected was shown on plans to be closer to the junction of the main road, which meant traffic control was needed. But the joint turned out to be closer to Sandy Lane, so the lights were no longer required. Drivers were frustrated by the traffic management system which had been in place to adjust the lights according to the build-up of traffic queues either side. Delays had caused long queues to build up along Exeter Road, tailing back as far as Langdon. Motorists were reported taking more than 40 minutes to travel between the Sainsbury's store into the town, while bus services were also affected.
Scott Williams targets Tamebridge seat. The Green Party is hoping to win its first seat on Tamebridge Council. Dawlish Town Councillor Scott Williams is standing for the party in the upcoming by-election in the Ken Valley ward. Publisher, community activist and competitive archer, Scott could become the authority's first Green Party member if elected. Scott publishes South Devon's Reconnect magazine, is a volunteer wildlife warden and carbon cutting coordinator for Action on Climate in Tamebridge. He oversaw the Our Green Futures project, giving advice and funding to community projects in Tamebridge, and is co-founder of the annual Turn the Tide Festival in Dawlish. Scott believes people are ready for a new approach. He said, "I want to give people the chance to vote for a different voice. If elected, I would hold the administration in Tamebridge to account. I would speak up for the green policies to tackle the cost of living crisis, ensure housing and infrastructure meets local needs while protecting nature, and make public service work for people, not for profit." The Green Party nationally is attracting renewed attention after the election of a new leader, Zach Polanski, and announcing record membership numbers. Like Polanski, Scott is keen to take aim at reform and their division approach to politics. He said, "Greens will always stand up to reform, who scapegoat others while pushing policies that only benefit the super rich and the fossil fuel companies that fund them." He believes people are tired of main parties and looking for a fresh approach that puts local people first. He said in the county council elections in May, the Green Party went from 2 to 6 county councillors in Devon, and we now have a Green in the cabinet. "Now I'm hoping people will vote to make the first Green district councillor in Tamebridge." The by-election takes place on Thursday, October the 9th. Electors in the Ken Valley will have until Tuesday, September the 23rd to register, and a full list of candidates will be published in due course. Thank you.
Music superstar Lewis Capaldi would headline a massive outdoor show at Powderham Castle next year, making the 2026 gig his biggest ever solo show in the Southwest. The Scottish singer-songwriter announced the gig earlier this week at TK Maxx Presents Live at Powderham on Sunday the 28th. After unprecedented demand that saw the biggest ever rush for tickets across both pre-sale and general sale, Lewis Capaldi is currently blazing through a triumphant 200,000 ticket sold out 17-date UK arena tour. The announcement comes during Lewis's current sold-out 17-day UK arena tour, his first return to touring in 2 years. The response to the tour has been electric, with critics unanimous in their praise, delivering 4- and 5-star reviews across the board, continuing this week with a run of 3 sold-out shows at London's The O2. His last full album was Broken by Desire to be Heavenly Sent, which became his second UK number one album and contained chart-topping singles Pointless, Wish You the Best and Forget Me. Lewis's return has already seen him top the charts, bagging a monumental 6th number one single with his comeback track Survive to become the fastest selling single of 2024 so far, surpassing both Sabrina Carpenter and Lady Gaga. A headliner-sized pyramid stage crowd embraced this emotion of Lewis's return this summer, one of the cultural moments of the year, for a powerful, hit-laden half-hour Glastonbury set. He said, "I just wanted to come and finish what I couldn't finish last time." Prior to his comeback, Lewis played a run of Scottish warm-up shows in May that saw him return to the stage as a guest of mental health charity Calm in celebration of Mental Health Awareness Week. TK Maxx Presents Live at Powderham is organised by Live Nation promoters Cuff and Taylor, known for curating world-class events in unique locations. Live Nation promoter Ollie Mason said, "We're absolutely delighted to be bringing Lewis to Powderham, and what an incredible artist to launch our 2026 event. His current arena tour sold out in minutes, so we are expecting demand to be extremely high. The team have worked so hard to improve the fan experience, and we're so grateful to the venue and local authorities for sharing our vision and making these events possible. Following its debut at the historic Powderham Castle Estate in July, with 80s legends Duran Duran, Live at Powderham is set to be bigger and better in 2026. Organisers have promised major investment in the venue's infrastructure, a redesigned site, and a new wide range of public transport options on offer to help improve the audience experience. To register for 2026 updates and to find out more about TK Maxx Presents Live at Powderham, with more artists also on the cards for next summer, go to liveatpowderham.com.
Thank you. MP launches survey to improve health service. A patient in Tainbridge who needed a dental checkup before starting a course of medical treatment was unable to find an NHS dentist. The resident who took part in a health survey set up by Newton Abbott MP Martin Wrigley was forced to pay privately despite struggling to afford the checkup. Mr. Wrigley has launched the survey as part of his bid to improve health services for residents in his constituency. He said, situations like this should not happen. He is demanding urgent healthcare investment from the government and has asked his constituents to share their healthcare experiences. Mr. Wrigley said, the NHS is on its knees. We see it every day in long waiting times. GP surgeries underfunded to almost half their patients list and overworked staff. I want the government to hear your stories, to understand how cancer waiting times are robbing you of your time with loved ones, how ambulance waiting times are costing precious lives in our communities, and how parents are struggling to get urgent dentist appointments for their children. Our NHS deserves more than just warm words and empty promises, and it is worth fighting for. Every personal experience adds extra pressure on the government to fund better services and deliver better outcomes for everyone in our constituency, whether you're 8 or 88. Martin succeeded in getting the government to commit to review and reform the outdated Carr-Hill formula, which is used to calculate how much a GP practice receives per patient, in order to ensure fair, equitable, and appropriate funding for GPs across the country. Armed with the results of this survey, he hopes to challenge the government further to fix the NHS and make it fit for purpose, now and in the future. The health survey takes 4 minutes to complete.
Councillors in Tainbridge are calling for clarity amid fears that the government's plans to shut them down are descending into disarray. Keir Starmer's recent cabinet reshuffle and the departure of Deputy Prime Minister Angela Rayner have left a question mark over the timetable for plans to reshape local government across the country. In Devon, that will mean scrapping the county council, all 8 of its district councils, and possibly Exeter City Council too, to be replaced by unitary authorities such as the ones operating in Plymouth and Torbay now. Exeter wants to become a unitary council in its own right. Torbay and Plymouth want to keep their own unitary status, and the districts favour a 1-4-5 approach, with Plymouth standing alone and the rest of the county covered by 2 large unitaries, one comprising West Devon, Southams, Torbay and Teignbridge, and the other, Torridge, North Devon, Mid Devon, Exeter and East Devon. Teignbridge Council leader Richard Keeling told a meeting of the Council's Executive Committee, "I have asked for clarification of exactly what is happening, because the residents of Devon want to know, as well as the councillors who want to know whether they're in a job next year." Angela Rayner was one of the main drivers of the local government reorganisation plans, as was local government minister Jim McHone, who was also replaced in the shuffle. Councillor Keeling said he had been in many meetings with Mr. McMahon and he had been very clear on the direction the process would take. "Now we find that this has been changed," he said. "There seems to be some disarray over the direction we should be going in. We need some clarification." As the timetable stands at the moment, council submissions will go to the government at the end of November. After the decision is announced in mid-2026, there will be elections to a new shadow authority in May 2027 and those elected councillors taking over a new shape Devon in May 2028.
Foster carers are not applying for tax discount. Less than half of Devon's foster carers have claimed a council tax discount they are now eligible to receive. While 144 payments have been made to foster carers, it's understood that a further 200 individuals could claim. Carers looking after children for 13 to 26 weeks are now offered a 25% rebate on part of their council tax, while those caring for children for more than 26 weeks will be able to secure a 50% rebate on that portion. The rebate applies to the part of residents' council tax bills that is charged by Devon County Council. It means a carer in a Band D property could get £429 back on the £1,716 portion of their council tax that goes to the County Council.
Ooh. Burglars have been jailed for a 54,000 crime spree. Two men who carried out 44 burglaries of commercial premises around the country have been jailed for 4 years. During a 9-month-long spree, the pair raided garden centres, tourist attractions, service stations, golf clubs, cafes, garages, shops and other businesses in the South West, North Yorkshire and Cheshire between September 2024 and June this year. Jason Robbins, 34, of Den Road, Tynmouth, and Andrew Holland, 36, of Truro Avenue, Torquay, admitted a single charge of conspiracy to burgle. At Exeter Crown Court, prosecutor Miss Pip Harper said the pair stole £13,760 in cash, £15,790 of property and caused £24,350 worth of damage to the premises where they struck. They were caught using CCTV and phone evidence, but DNA was also found on some of Holland's blood at one site and a discarded cigarette left by Robbins at another. Judge James Patrick jailed them both for 4 years and banned them from driving for 2 years from the time they were freed from jail. He said they were prolific offenders who carried out 44 burglaries in Devon and the northeast and northwest of England. The judge said it involved significant planning and caused substantial losses. Even a day after being arrested and bailed, they carried out raids. Father of three, Robbins, has 40 previous convictions for 93 offences, and dad of two, Holland, has 9 previous convictions for 115 offences. The court heard the men said they were stupid opportunists, and their acts were not of criminal masterminds. Defence lawyers said sometimes they left empty-handed or just with some food and a small amount of cash. The court heard both men turned to using cocaine following family bereavements and funded their habits with the break-ins.
Well, here we have something a little more cheerful. A missing cat was reunited with its owner after 5 years. A tabby cat named Ethan has been reunited with his owner after being missing for 5 years. When Ethan was brought to Animals in Distress Rescue Centre last week, he went by Rupert. Rupert had been living in Torquay after being taken in by someone who thought he was a stray. Sadly, this owner passed away. So when the staff at Ipplepen-based Rescue Centre scanned Rupert for a microchip, they were surprised to find that he was registered to a different owner. After phoning the number on the microchip, staff learned that Rupert was actually named Ethan and had been missing from his original home for 5 years. Ethan's original owner, Ian Haskins, who now lives in Exeter, was both shocked and over the moon to hear that Animals in Distress had his long-lost boy. Ian came straight over to the centre where both he and Ethan were extremely happy to see each other again. Ian said, "I'm still in shock. We have missed him so much. He's such a calm cat and he sleeps on the bed, cuddled up on the pillows." Roana Rowan, communication and coordinator and fundraiser at Animals in Distress, said, "We love it so much when things work out like this." This story shows the importance of microchipping cats, as without the chip, Ethan would never have found his way home. His interim owner, who took him in as a stray, had the best of intentions and cared for him very well. However, Ethan's story also shows how important it is to take any stray cats you find to the vets or a rescue home to have them scanned for a microchip before taking them in. He may well be someone's long lost cat and very missed. We are just delighted about this story and at Landis. It has a happy ending for both Ethan and Ian.
An imminent lengthy closure of a main road in and out of Newton Abbot has prompted Newton Abbot Town Council to speak up on behalf of businesses and residents. The A382 between the town and the A38 at Drumbridges is due to be upgraded with work overseen by Devon County Council, scheduled to start on September the 25th. Oh boy. A section at Whitehill will close for a year to allow construction of a new roundabout, followed immediately by another year's closure on the stretch between Fortress Cross and Stover. Access to businesses will be maintained, I'm not sure how, while signs will advise motorists on the quickest diversions. But the scheme's details have been questioned. Mark Amphlett, chairman of Newton Abbot Chamber of Commerce, said, "We're deeply concerned about the scale and duration of the upcoming road closures around Newton Abbot. Local businesses are already facing significant pressures, and any prolonged disruption to access risks further damaging footfall, trade, and the overall confidence of both customers and investors in our town. Newton Abbot relies heavily on convenient transport links to keep our high street, retail parks, and industrial estates thriving. We urge the relevant authorities to work closely with local businesses to explore measures such as phased work, improved signage, and strong publicity campaigns that encourage people to continue shopping and trading in Newton Abbot during this period. With the right collaboration, we can protect the vitality of our local economy while ensuring these essential infrastructure works are completed successfully." Newton Abbot Mayor Councillor Colin Parker said, "Real worries had been voiced and added, the protracted closures are a significant concern for residents and businesses. Devon County Council and the contractor M Group have been engaging with businesses along the route to inform them and integrate their feedback into the traffic management plans. Whilst the upgrading and realignment of the A382 with the intended aims of improving safety, reducing congestion and supporting potential future development in the area are acknowledged as the long-term envisioned benefits, the immediate concern for many is navigating the daily disruption during the construction period." Newton Abbot Town Council's Projects and Strategy Officer said, I know from attending the County Council's drop-in session how these essential roadworks are already generating heated discussions and upsetting many, but it is equally essential to drill home the message that Newton Abbott remains open for business. The Town Council will gladly help facilitate any discussion around how best to offset or address the inconveniences caused by the road closures. I also strongly encourage everyone, commuters, traders, shoppers, to make the most of all the proactive communication methods offered by Devon County Council. We've been assured that the dedicated A382 Improvement Scheme website, which is devon.cc/A382, will be updated in real time, and that the email address at 382@milestoneinfra.co.uk will deal with any queries not covered by the website's free FAQ page.
I don't know if you've seen some of the flags around town. Devonians have been urged not to vandalise the areas where they live with graffiti and to use flags instead to prevent taxpayers' money being wasted on repairs. A wave of St George's flags have been painted on roundabouts, road markings and street signs across the county, amid a trend that's exploded across the nation. But one of Devon's newest local politicians, Councillor James Granger, the Reform UK member for Okehampton Rural, has said that painting flags on public property is the wrong approach, not least because of the added burden it puts on Devon County Council's road workers, as well as the extra costs. Unfortunately, as much as many residents like to see the surge in patriotism, with many even telling me they like the graffiti, we must remember that this is still vandalism. Our highway team at Devon County Council is working very hard with limited resources to try and fix our broken roads. If they are tasked with painting new road markings and removing graffiti, it means they are taken away from fixing the dreaded potholes. Making the repairs is also an unneeded cost to taxpayers at a time when budgets are tight. Councillor Granger added that vandalised road markings could cause confusion for drivers, potentially increasing the chance of an accident. He said he believed some on the far left, as he described them, had tried for many years to manipulate the public's opinion on the subject of flags and turn it into a dirty symbol. But I think we ought to be proud of our unique identity and fly our national symbol with pride. The St George's flag is a symbol for everything English and represents those on the left, centre and right in politics. I think it is unfair to generalise entire groups of patriots as far right or racist, just in the same way it would be wrong to generalise everyone who flies a Palestinian flag as far left or anti-Semitic. Councillor Granger said some people silence and mistreated by what he characterised as two-tier system, that meant, in his view, different people were treated differently by the judicial, legal and welfare systems. He cited the example of Lucy Connolly, whose comments about illegal immigrants led to her being given what is believed to be the longest custodial sentence for a single social media post. But Dartford councillor Ricky Jones, being found not guilty of violent disorder for remarks at an anti-racist rally. Miss Connolly said she pleaded guilty after advice from her solicitors.
Thank you, Nev and Norma. One letter in the paper this week, which is from Carl Makins, Head of Community Education for St John Ambulance. It's headed Save a Life September. We'll do anything for our loved ones, whether it's late-night lifts, babysitting the grandkids, or being their biggest cheerleader. So why not give up just half an hour to make sure you're ready to help them in an emergency? This September, St John Ambulance is once again calling on the nation to take just 30 minutes to learn life-saving skills through our annual Save a Life September campaign. This year, we're aiming to pass on essential first aid skills, how to deal with cardiac arrest, choking, and severe bleeding, to 300,000 people via demonstrations across the country and our online first aid resources. Throughout September, our highly trained volunteers will be teaching first aid in communities nationwide. If you do anything for your loved ones, please attend one of our free sessions. For updates and more information and to find your nearest Save a Life September demonstration, visit sja.org.uk/save-a-life-september. Add learning vital first aid to the list of things you do for loved ones. What could be more important? Now, there's one obituary in the paper, which is Audrey Mary Wilson, who passed away on the 21st of August, aged 100. Her funeral service will be held on Friday the 26th of September at St Agatha's RC Church, Dawlish, at 10:30 a.m. And donations in her memory are for Age UK by Retiring Collection. There are also three death notices from Dawlish Funeral Care. Raymond Cutts, whose funeral is on 30th of September at St Paul's Chapel, Exeter Crematorium even, at 12 noon, and his donations are for Alzheimer's UK. Wilhelmina Patterson, whose funeral is Thursday the 2nd of October, also at St Paul's Chapel, at 1 p.m. And James Spanner, whose funeral is on Friday the 3rd of October, again at St Paul's Chapel, at 3 p.m. And donations again to Alzheimer's UK. So now we welcome our next two readers.
Hello, it's Fran Frank.
And hello, it's Chris Brathwaite.
Welcome, Fran and Chris. Now, headline article from the Tynmouth paper is Lifesaver in Heart of the Community. A charity which raises money to buy defibrillators has installed its 17th life-saving machine in Tynmouth. Residents and visitors to the Coombe Valley area of the town now have access to a defibrillator by the parade of shops on Coombe Vale Road, thanks to the dedicated work of Teen Heartbeat. It was officially opened by Tynmouth Mayor Councillor Kate Williams last Saturday. And the charity's founder, Shirley Brockenshaw, is looking to add further defibrillators in residential areas. This is a perfect site. It's by a couple of shops, the salon and the pharmacy, so it's easy to find, and it's got lots of passing traffic and is near lots of houses, she said. Shirley was inspired to set up Teen Heartbeat after a gentleman passed away in the town centre shortly after she moved to Tynmouth 15 years ago. After realising a defibrillator may have saved his life, she decided to do her bit and raise the money needed to buy a defibrillator and cabinet. Teen Heartbeat also provides free defibrillator and CPR training. Defibrillators can be used to restart someone's heart if it has stopped beating. Community defibrillators are available 24 hours a day and are safe and easy to use. The vital life-saving equipment is locked in a cabinet, and a code to access the unit is provided by 999 call dispatchers when required. Through Shirley's own hard work and determination, the community has benefited from this life-saving equipment being available and ready to use should it be needed, Kate said as she unveiled the new defibrillator. One can only hope that the equipment is not ever required, but sadly, we know that not to be the case. However, with Teen Heartbeat here on our doorstep and their determination to raise awareness about heart disease, as well as continuing attempt to bring yet more life-saving equipment into our town, this can only benefit us now and for future generations. So now, over to Fran for her first report.
Right. Capsized dinghy is Lee's first lifeboat shout. A capsized sailing dinghy on Saturday, September the 6th, gave Tynmouth Lifeboat's new crew member, Lee Smith, an opportunity to put his training into action as he responded to the first shout. Tynmouth Royal National Lifeboat Institution, otherwise known as the RNLI, received a call from Solent Coast Guards at 7:48 p.m. on Saturday evening. After a small sailing dinghy capsized in the River Teen, leaving two people in the water. Volunteer crew from Tynmouth Lifeboat Station, including the trainee crew member Lee Smith, launched swiftly to the location west of the station up the River Teen. On arrival, Tynmouth RNLI crew found another dinghy already on the scene with one of its crew members in the water trying to help the stricken vessel. The volunteer crew from the RNLI quickly helped to recover everyone from the water. The casualties told the lifeboat crew that the mast of the capsized dinghy had become stuck in the mud. So, Tynmouth lifeboat crew towed the capsized vessel free and then returned both casualties and the sailing dinghy back to the Coombe Cellars at Coombe in Teenhead. Hopefully the right way up then. Taking part in my first shout was a great milestone in my training, Lee said. Last night really highlighted the importance of teamwork on the water, and I'm looking forward to building on this experience as I continue my training. I want to thank everyone at the station for their help in getting to this point. Tynmouth RNLI Lifeboat Operations Manager Andy Lilburn extended his congratulations to Lee on a successful first shout. He performed really well during the shout, and we look forward to seeing him progress further as he continues his training. It's encouraging for the whole team to see new crew members growing in confidence and capability with each call-out.
And my first one is also to do with volunteers, opening eyes to the coast. Tynmouth's coastal watchtower at Eastcliff will open its doors next Sunday, the 21st of September, to show members of the public how the eyes along the coast works. Members of the Tynmouth National Coast Watch Institution, NCI, will be on hand to explain what they do and will be offering tours of the lookout throughout the day. An information desk outside the lookout will also provide information about water safety. Tynmouth Mayor Councillor Kate Williams will officially open the day at 10 and the event will run until 4 p.m. NCI stations are manned by volunteers who take it in turns to keep a visual and radio watch over the coast looking for anyone in potential danger. They report any coastal safety-related incidents to HM Coast Guard so that expert help can be sent, and the picture clearly shows many of these volunteers waiting to help out.
My next article, Councillor marks 300th platelet donation. Don't laugh. Town and District Councillor Joan Atkins has chalked up another milestone in her bid to help others. Joan, who is a former mayor of Tynmouth, travels once a month to the blood donor unit at Derriford Hospital. Now she has clocked up 300 donations. She said, "It is vitally important that people who are able consider donation of both whole blood or platelets, because without the army of volunteer donors around the country, the health service would suffer." Platelets differ from blood donations as group A negative is the universally accepted group, unlike blood, which is group O. The platelets are used to treat many serious conditions and trauma. Joan explained, "It does take an hour or two depending on what donation is required. And age is not necessarily a bar either. Providing you are fit and healthy, you may be eligible on screening." And I am well over 21, she said. We both know her, don't we, Mo?
We do.
We do. "But because I'm fit and I'm not suffering any ill effects, I'm able to carry on and I'm emailed a message telling me where in the country my platelets have gone, and it can be anywhere being A negative, not just locally." To mark the occasion of her 300th donation, nurses at the unit presented her with a certificate and a cake. She said, "I have given blood since I was 18, and though I since moved to Tynmouth, it was originally off and on, but it has now been regular. That's good for the locals. We all expect blood or platelets to be there if we are going in for an operation or are hurt in an accident. So I would ask people if they are willing and able to consider becoming a donor or going back to donation. There's actually a picture here of Joan, and on one side there's a young man who's got a certificate, which they're obviously about to hand to her, and there's a young lady with a very large cake. I hope they didn't expect her to eat the whole cake. When they said they gave her cake, I thought they meant a slice on a plate.
Good news as food hygiene ratings are awarded. New food hygiene ratings have been awarded to four of Teenbridge's establishments, the Food Standards Agency's website shows, and it's good news for all of them. Restaurants, cafes and canteens have various ratings, and the following have been given to two restaurants, cafes or canteens. Rated 5, which I assume is the top, Gray's Bakehouse and Bar at 29 Regent Street, Tynmouth, rated on September the 9th. And also rated 5, Ullacombe Farm Cafe and Shop at Ullacombe Farm, Haytor Road, Bovey Tracy, rated on September the 3rd. Pubs, bars and nightclubs, two ratings have been handed to the Bay Horse at Bay Horse Inn, 64 North Street, Ashburton, and the Ship Inn at Beachside, Ship Inn Beachside Bites at Queen Street, Tynmouth, Devon, on September the 9th.
Right. My husband went actually for coffee yesterday morning to Gray's, and he didn't know it was there until he turned up. Somebody said meet him there, and he said it was very nice, actually. So I'm not surprised they've got a good rating. Right, my next article. Don't miss fire services winter safety conversation. Devon and Somerset Fire and Rescue Service are inviting people to join an upcoming safety event as part of its community conversation programme. The winter safety event takes place virtually from 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. on Friday, November the 7th. The free event takes place on Microsoft Teams and will start with a 10-minute presentation on fire safety advice, followed by a general discussion and question and answer session. A spokesperson for the fire brigade said, "It doesn't matter what your background or experience is, whether you represent an organisation or are speaking as an individual, you are all welcome. You can share your questions in advance by emailing pressoffice@dsfire.gov.uk. If you're having a problem joining, please call them on 01392 719999.
My next one is also about performance. Region's NHS Trust ranked by performance. Where does the Torbay and South Devon NHS Foundation Trust rank in the new NHS Trust League tables? The Trust, which provides acute healthcare services from Torbay Hospital, as well as community health services and adult social care, was ranked 71st out of the 134 trusts in the league. Somewhere in the middle. Moorfields Eye Hospital NHS Foundation Trust in London was ranked number 1. Elsewhere in Devon, the Royal Devon University Healthcare NHS Foundation Trust was ranked 54th. Trusts are ranked on several metrics, including waiting times, cancer treatment, and time spent in A&E. Every trust will be ranked quarterly against clear and consistent standards, the government says. Health and Social Care Secretary Wes Streeting said, "We must be honest about the state of the NHS in order to fix it. Patients and taxpayers have to know how their local NHS services are doing compared to the rest of the country. These league tables will identify where urgent support is needed and allow high-performing areas to share best practice with others, taking the best of the NHS to the rest of the NHS." Patients know when local services aren't up to scratch, and they want to see an end to the postcode lottery. That's what this government is doing. We are combining the extra $26 billion investment each year with tough reforms to get value for money, with every pound helping to cut waiting time for patients, we hope. By summer 2026, the tables will expand to cover integrated care boards, NHS organisations responsible for planning health services for their local population, and wider areas of NHS performance. NHS leaders will receive extra pay incentives to go into challenged trusts and turn them around. Where trusts are persistently failing, senior managers could see their pay docked. Experience and feedback will be central to where trusts are ranked, giving patients more power to be able to have their say. There will be a failure regime to bring poor performers up to standard.
Train operator expands use of body cameras. Southwestern Railway is set to expand the use of body-worn cameras after it reports a rise in assaults against its staff. So far this year, the train operator has recorded more than 2 assaults every day against colleagues across its network. These include both violent attacks and verbal threats. The number of reported incidents of violent and public order offences have doubled between 2020 and 2024, according to British Transport Police. Following an initial trial in 2021, South West Railway has introduced body-worn video cameras for colleagues in customer-facing roles, such as train guards and gateline assistants. The cameras, which are activated by the wearer and capture 30 seconds of footage prior to activation, can deter assaults and other antisocial behaviour, as well as collect video and audio evidence for use in legal proceedings. To warn potential perpetrators of the impact that abusing colleagues can have, both for them and the colleague, South West Railways has launched a new poster campaign. The campaign aims to prevent incidents by alerting potential perpetrators to the use of body-worn video cameras and reminding them of the consequences of any abuse. Jane Lupson, Safety and Security Director for South Western Railway, said, "The rise in abuse directed against our colleagues, including daily assaults, is totally unacceptable and will not be tolerated. Keeping people safe on our railway is always our number one priority, not least our colleagues who serve our customers with care every day. The introduction of body-worn video cameras will help deter anyone thinking of abusing a colleague and help prosecute those who do. We hope this striking new campaign will remind potential perpetrators of the consequences of abuse for colleagues and for them."
Please remain vigilant over high-value car thefts. Residents in Devon are urged to secure high-value vehicles as thefts continue across the area, with targeted addresses often left insecure. Measures like trackers, CCTV and secure car key storage are recommended by Devon and Cornwall Police. The force says that for several months now, there have been ongoing thefts of high-value vehicles. People are targeting addresses where high-performance vehicles are kept, with thefts occurring across the force area. 3 cars were recently stolen from an address in Heathfield. A man in his 20s from Exeter was arrested and inquiries are ongoing. The vehicles, a blue Honda Civic, a grey Porsche Macan and a white BMW 4 Series, were thankfully recovered in Torquay and Tynmouth respectively. A spokesperson for the police said, "Please ensure that all windows and doors are locked when away from the address, and especially at night when such thefts tend to occur. And consider other crime prevention measures such as CCTV, ring doorbell devices, and hide any valuables away. Security lighting can also be a good deterrent, and it is recommended hiding car keys away and keeping them in a signal-blocking pouch. Also a good security measure, rather than typically leaving them, for example, on a hook by the front door. Although on occasions persons have been arrested and charged, the problem remains ongoing. Please remain vigilant and report anything suspicious. Information can also be passed anonymously to independent charity Crime Stoppers by calling 0800 555 111 or reporting online at www.crimestoppers-uk.org. For more information about keeping your vehicle safe, visit the Devon and Cornwall Police website.
Teambridge backs down on Asda car park. Teambridge Council appears to have backed down over contentious changes to a Newton Abbott Town Centre car park. Shoppers have been up in arms over new rules at Asda's car park, which mean vehicles can park for only 2 hours instead of the previous three, and only to shop in the supermarket. It had been understood that as part of the original planning permission for the store to be built 20 years ago, the car park should remain available for anyone wanting to visit the town centre, not just Asda. However, a spokesman for Teambridge Council said, following a review of the historic agreement, our legal team has advised that we will not be challenging the changes Asda have made to their car park arrangement. The spokesman added, Teambridge has several other town centre car parks for people visiting Newton Abbott for shopping or leisure as an alternative. Complaints have flooded in from furious shoppers since the changes came into force. Newton Abbott Town Council was keen to see parking retained within the town centre on the terms originally agreed between Asda and the district authority. A spokesman said, Newton Abbott Town Council remains hopeful further talks between Asda and Teambridge District Council can deliver a solution which provides for the people and businesses of the area. The car park is an essential part of the town's infrastructure and must remain freely available for all those who wish to use it. The original deal between Teambridge Council and Asda was made as part of the Section 106 agreement in 2005, when the land was transferred to Asda. Part of that agreement was a clause agreeing charges between Teambridge Council and Asda. There was also a provision for Asda to refund customers spending in store on a production of a valid parking ticket. But it is understood that the original agreement could be considered price-fixing, and if the agreement was found to be in breach of competition law, both Asda and the council could face legal consequences.
Vehicle seized after illegal off-roading. Police in Teambridge say they aim to increase patrols when possible after an incident of illegal off-roading motoring at a local quarry. Officers with the Rural Teambridge Policing Team recently attended an incident involving persons driving 4x4 vehicles gaining unauthorised access to a quarry to engage in off-road motoring. Three vehicles were racing around the dirt tracks. One vehicle was seized and two drivers were issued with Section 59 warning notices for driving in an antisocial manner. The Section 59 warning means if either vehicle is seen driving in an antisocial manner again, or if either driver is seen driving any vehicle in an antisocial manner, the vehicle can be seized. A spokesperson for the Rural Teambridge Policing Team said, illegally accessing any site would be at least a trespass offence, but may also involve criminal damage or other offences. You also leave yourself open to the antisocial behaviour process. Quarries in particular can be very dangerous places to access, with often unseen hazards. P Please, if you engage in off-roading activities in any vehicle, do not access private land without the owner's permission. Remember, your vehicle must be roadworthy to drive on any highway, including green lanes. Respect others using the area who may be on foot, a bicycle, or a horse. In the wake of the incident, officers say that when possible, they aim to increase patrols. A spokesperson for the police said, please report any incidents using 101 or via the website if an ongoing issue, or via the emergency telephone 999 if the offence is occurring in front of you. Try to make a note of as much information as you can, including registration number, time, place, description of driver, as well as any phone or dash cam footage you might have. Personal safety will always be paramount, and please report it to us rather than challenging individuals yourself. Well, recognising might be quite difficult. There's a picture here, obviously in the dark. There's a red car with headlights on, ploughing its way through mud. You'd be jolly lucky to get a glimpse of the person inside, wouldn't you?
Or their number plate if they've been going through the mud.
Right, my last article is actually from the sports pages. Tynmouth rally to come from behind and bag a win. Following on from an opening day victory, Tynmouth Rugby Football Club first 15 fans showed up at Bitton Park hoping for a repeat performance. Columpton were the opponents this time, and despite finishing ahead of them in the Regional 2 Southwest standings last year, Tynmouth lost this fixture both home and away. With plenty to prove, the team started strong, but it was the visitors who got the ball rolling, successfully kicking a penalty for a 0-3 advantage. Tynmouth conceded another penalty shortly afterwards, and Cully kicked for the posts once again, making it 0-6. The home defence held strong where possible, but they were eventually breached, Columpton breaking through to notch the first try of the game. Their kick was good, moving into a 13-point lead. They added three more points moments later as they kicked a penalty gifted to them. The kickoff didn't go to plan, and from the scrum, Tynmouth were penalised. There was plenty of fight still in the ranks of the home team, though, and after gradually working their way up the field, they had something of their own to celebrate. Captain George Franklin crossed the white line from a driving maul to take the score to 5-16. Tynmouth's momentum grew and grew until they had a second try, a maul giving them the opportunity to put the ball through the hands to the wing, where Dan Hayward was on hand to score. Another conversion was missed, but they were now within striking distance, heading into the half-time break. The pause in play did nothing to stifle the Tynmouth trajectory, Jack Bowen cutting Cully's lead to a single point, and fullback Jordan Hellier then putting his side ahead for the first time that afternoon. With this fourth try also came a guaranteed bonus point. As tensions rose at Bitton Park, the home crowd were eventually awarded with a fifth and decisive try. Will Soudan diving over and Jack Main converting for a 27-16 teams win. Way! Tynmouth women were also in action, taking on rivals Newton Abbott the night prior in the Devon Cup. This was the first game of the season for Tynmouth, and it came under the lights, also being the first they have entered this cup competition. Neighbours Newton Abbott are a league above, so it was always going to be a tall ask, and so it proved. Tynmouth were delighted to welcome several new players, and it was great to see a full team with substitutes. It didn't take long for Newton to open the scoring, though, taking a 0-5 lead, which eventually became a 0-10 lead. In spite of the spirited Tynemouth defence, the all-whites kept coming, and the score crept up to 0-30. The home side were unable to get on the board in the first half, but they were duly rewarded for their fighting spirit after the break. Catalin Kate, a speedy winger, scored on her debut to get Tynemouth onto the board. Back of the match, Katie added another, and forward of the match, Ellie Meacham also crossed with the side scoring 17 points apiece in the second 40, for a final score of 17-47. They did at least score.
And my last one is to get you to start thinking about Christmas. Can you believe it? Join Dick to see Fame and Fortune in London Town. Further casting for Theatre Royal Plymouth's upcoming panto of Dick Whittington has been announced by the show's producers. The production, which will run from December the 12th to January the 10th, stars the previously announced television, recording, musical theatre and panto star Shane Ritchie, who will headline this year's pantomime in the title role. Shane will be joined by Plymouth Panto favourite Samuel Holmes as the Spirit of Bow Bells, musical theatre stars Anne Smith as Queen Rat, Emily Beth Harrington also returning to her hometown for the festive season as Alice Fitzwarren, and Kira McPherson as Kitty Cat, and Panto Dame Ian Stewart Robertson as Sarah the Cook. This year's production will celebrate West Country talent, with two members of the company hailing from Plymouth. Samuel Holmes, returning, will once again delight audiences with his trademark humour, and Sam was most recently seen at the venue in the smash hit production Calamity Jane. And he will be joined by fellow Plymouthian, I still haven't got it, Emily Beth Harrington, back at TRP for the first time in 5 years, previously performing in Robinson Crusoe in 2020. A celebrated panto legend, Shane returns to Plymouth following his acclaimed performance in 2022's highly successful production of Sleeping Beauty. So get ready for you to buy your panto tickets.
Thank you, Fran and Chris. Now, a few what's-ons we've been asked to give out. Firstly, the Royal Devon and Exeter Hospital have asked us to announce that they are offering practical and emotional support to any patient attending the West of England Eye Unit in the hospital. It is called the Sight Support Service. You can ring them on 01392 406 126 or email them at rduh.sightsupportservice@nhs.net. A couple of reminders of ones that were given out last week. On Tuesday, Dawlish Community Transport are going to Darts Farm. And on Friday, there is a Macmillan Coffee Morning at the Anchor Inn at Cockwood between 10 and 12. Now, some new ones for the following week. Tuesday, the 30th of September, Dawlish Community Transport are going to Tavistock. Friday the 3rd of October, Dawlish Fair Trade Friends are holding a concert at the Strand Centre, 7 for 7.30pm, when Dawlish Rock Waves will perform. Cost is £9. On Saturday the 4th of October, Holcombe have their Apple Day, which is being held in the community orchard in Smugglers Lane from 2 till 4pm. So I hope you can enjoy some of those. We are now coming to the end of this week's edition of Here and Now, recorded at our studio in Dawlish on Friday the 19th of September 2025. We hope you've enjoyed the programme, which was brought to you by the Blue Team. Our readers have been Nev Pope, Norma Orty, Fran Frank and Chris Brathwaite. Copy and dispatch has been Fran Frank and Chris Brathwaite, and the programme was produced by Chris Wall here in Dawlish, and I'm Mo Hutchings, team leader. Next Here and Now recording will be on Friday the 26th of September 2025, when it will be the turn of the Red Team to bring you the week's news. So now, the Blue Team send our very best wishes. Happy birthday if you're celebrating this week. Keep safe and well. So now, it's goodbye from all the team.
Goodbye!